Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Howard Rosenberg will join us. We'll talk about the movie Behind the Candelabra and talk about what it was like to be a gay entertainer in Nevada back in the day. Plus, on the Power Pundit panel today, Rue Goodnow, Robert Eithoven, and Sean Carey. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is open Wednesday through Monday at 5 p.m.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is open Wednesday through Monday at 5 p.m.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always pleased to welcome back to the program Howard Rosenberg, UNR Professor of Art and Art Education, former member of the Board of Regents of the University System, and also a current member of the Washoe County School Board District. And we're here to talk about nothing about that.
Good.
Now.
I'm so pleased.
We may get to that later. But what I wanted to talk to you about was HBO's new movie that's called Behind the Candelabra, and it's a story of Liberace. And one of the people...
May I correct you?
Go ahead.
It's a story of Liberace.
Okay, fair enough. Debbie Reynolds, who is your great friend for many, many years, is in the movie playing Lee's mother.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful because you don't even recognize her until
Sam,
the credits come
out. That was one of her stipulations. I don't want to look like Debbie Reynolds. So forget that. Now, if you're going to pile it on, fine. Otherwise, I ain't playing this game. I'm 80 years old. I don't have to be adorable anymore.
Well,
and she did a damn good job.
She was fantastic.
Yes.
And Michael Douglas was fantastic as Liberace. It took me, to me at least, it took me about 2 minutes to get comfortable with him doing it, and then I was fine. You knew Liberace. You knew the time period. How difficult was it to be a gay performer in what was definitely a street society? Because in Las Vegas at that time period, certainly in the early part, African Americans played in hotels but weren't allowed to stay there, weren't allowed to go into the restaurants.
True.
What was it like for a gay entertainer?
Not as bad by a long shot. Everyone seems to think, and this is what drives me crazy, that Lee didn't know that anyone knew he was gay. He's a lot of things. He wasn't stupid. He was riding the razor blade of the time and the place. And he wrote it beautifully. What happened in his private life happened in his private life. It was never in Confidential, or I don't even know if they printed the National Enquirer back then. None of that kind of stuff. He played it very, very cool. But he always said, if there's anybody that doesn't know, they've got to be blind.
He actually sued a British newspaper.
Yes.
I think it was the News of the World.
Yep.
For suggesting that he was gay.
Yes. And he won.
And he won.
And he won. Because there is a line that you don't cross. It's not your business. Your business is what I do on stage. Have I given you your money's worth? Do you enjoy it? Sam, you saw Lee at the Nugget.
Sure.
First show I ever saw in Nevada was at the Nugget, was Liberace. My partner Jim and I went to the show. We had full dinner and half a bottle of champagne for $26 and some change. Excuse me? How can you go wrong? He was absolutely wonderful. He appealed to the older ladies. But then as the younger people got older, they got him. It was a wink-wink. He was having fun. This wasn't anything to put anything over on anybody. Come on. Look at the stuff he was wearing. It was costuming. As a gay man, yes, I'm sure he got some delight out of it. I know how heavy the costumes were because he put the rhinestone-lined mink cape on me, and we walked from the dressing room to the stage so I could get lifted up in Bertha's trunk. Now, the cape weighed 1,000 pounds.
By the way, for those that don't know, John Esquire's Nugget had two elephants
yes,
for many, many years.
Bertha and Tina. Well, Bertha would stand stock still. The whole thing that they told me is, how are you just going to go out and stand next to Bertha? She won't even move. So I'm standing next to Bertha. Hello. She's not moving. She doesn't smell quite wonderful, but that's okay. Then somebody said, Howard, why don't you turn a little bit so you're looking at Bertha? So I looked at Bertha, who could have cared less about me. Then someone said, why don't you just put your hand on her headdress? Not telling me this was Bertha's signal to the trunk around you and up in the air, screaming to beat the band. Then they opened the curtain so that everybody could see. Now, Howard Rosenberg has made a complete idiot of himself on any number of occasions. This is one of the best.
What did you think of the movie itself? Did you think that it was an accurate portrayal behind the scenes?
No.
In what way?
I did not. First, you've got to understand something. When Soderbergh first started, you know, dealing with this thing, they shopped it to everybody that there was. Okay, that's fine. His comment was, none of the studios would touch it. It's too gay. But this is the same place that made Brokeback Mountain, and it isn't as funny. Excuse me, Brokeback Mountain wasn't supposed to be funny. This thing, I don't think, was supposed to be funny either. It's a tale of a man who's riding a razor blade of life. He gets involved with someone. That someone had no identity when he first got involved with Liberace. Liberace gave him an identity. Not a very good one for going off by themselves later on in life. So I had a real problem with that. Then Matt Damon is 42 years old. Scott Thorson, when he met Lee, was in his teens. When Lee died, he was still in his 20s. So there's that whole thing that doesn't really come off at all well. If you're going to tell a story, tell a story. But don't do it like that.
But did you not think that Matt Damon put in a masterful performance?
No, I did not. Matt Damon has all of the animation of a fire plug. I'm sorry, it's not there. Scott supposedly was bisexual. Probably he was. I don't know. By the same token, Matt Damon marched through a performance, but that's not what Lee would have been involved with. You played with Liberace. Sam, before Liberace came one time here, I got a permanent. Now, don't ask me why I got a permanent. I thought it would be a good idea. I looked like a complete idiot. Clarabelle the clown. I mean, it was horrible. So I went over to see Lee because I had to do the review. I go to the dressing room, knock on the door. Ray opens the door. There's Liberace. He looks at me and said, Howard? And I said, yeah. He said, what did you do? I said, I got a permanent. He said, I hope it isn't permanent. He said, why don't you come in? We'll give you a flat top. That's not doing anything for you. It's that kind of a thing. When you go backstage and you meet someone in the dressing room, it's a difficult kind of a line because they want to rest. They don't want to talk to you. They're exhausted. In the old days, you remember, Sam, we used to do two shows a night, 7 nights a week. This is grueling.
2 weeks at a time.
Yes, very definitely. It's grueling. I mean, they make a lot of money. Fine. They also pay out a lot of money. I mean, I know how much the salaries are, and I know what they pay out of those salaries. Yes, they come home with more money than you and I make. By the same token, they don't work 52 weeks a year. So it's a balance, and a very difficult balance. The cape that has the mink and then the rhinestones inside, that's $100,000 in rhinestones. It weighs 100 and some odd pounds. You don't walk out on the stage and go, wee! Come on, this is heavy stuff to carry around. Lee was in fairly decent shape.
One thing that the movie did not emphasize, which I thought was unfortunate, was just how brilliant a pianist he really was.
You got it. You got it. Lee was absolutely fantastic. Liberace came off of another performer who had one name, and he was very frank about it. He imitated her to a certain extent. She was called Hildegard. She was the first lady of supper clubs. That's what Mrs. Roosevelt called her. She played the Persian Room in the Plaza Hotel in New York 6 months a year. She was a chanteuse. She played the piano. She had a couple of pieces behind her. She was wonderful. When Lee came along, he asked her, "Can I steal some of it?" She said, "Of course, dear. Go right ahead." Now, Hildegard would wear a Jacques Pfaff gown and, you know, diamonds that she borrowed from Tiffany's. Lee went a little bit further, but that's what audiences wanted. And they wanted the glitz and the glitter.
And as we wrap this segment up, the truth is...
One quick thing.
Go ahead.
Very quickly. Do you know who was first tapped for the role? It wasn't Michael Douglas.
Who was it?
Robin Williams. Now, think about that for a little while.
Folks, you have to watch this movie. It's on HBO. It's called Behind the Candelabra. Howard, even though he doesn't like it, he wants to talk to you about it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is open Wednesday through Monday at 5 p.m.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com. The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is open Wednesday through Monday at 5 p.m.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shadd.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Howard Rosenberg, UNL Professor of Art and Art Education. Changing topics here, although really, movies are art.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Oh, stop.
Some of them are art. Some of them are, we won't go into
we
that.
We won't go into
Moving
that.
Moving right along.
Okay, so you're already back at the University of Nevada. What is the atmosphere like there with the, all the changes in budgets and everything else that's going on between the faculty?
It's the same. Those of us that have been there for a long while, you roll with it. You know that it's coming. You make plans for what you need to do. We have a chairman in our department who is quite aware of what might come down the road, as there are other chairs in other departments, and we just, you know, keep going as best we can. For me, it's really very simple. Where are my classes? What time am I supposed to be there? And I'll take care of everything else. We just plan ahead as best we can.
What kind of student load are you looking for in the upcoming semester?
For me, mm-hmm. I teach three classes, and I've got a couple of kids on independent study. Most everyone at the university is teaching two classes a semester or three classes a semester. There are some that are three and three. I do three and three. I like to do four and three when I can because I love teaching. This is great fun for me.
How many kids in each class?
Oh, in the Visual Foundations classes, probably 30. In the film class, as many as 60. I have 60 seats. I used to have about 180 in the class, sometimes 250. But I was younger then and could read the papers. Now, it's a question of where do I put the glass? I hate getting older. You'll notice I said older.
Right.
Not old.
Right.
There's a difference.
We have dirt outside. It's a little bit older.
You can go straight to you-know-where in the handbasket.
There's a piece in the Las Vegas Review-Journal today. The headline is, State Students Doing Poorly. Nevada's public school system remains dead last in the nation for a second year running, according to an annual analysis of children's well-being released today from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. Your thoughts on that?
Sam, I am sick to death of reading these studies. I really am, because statistics are manipulated. And when you manipulate statistics, you make the people that are responsible for where you get your statistics to start manipulating their statistics. For one thing, and one of the reporters here asked me if I would talk to her about this, and I said that I wouldn't, because I wanted to wait for a little bit to, you know, gather more information. However, you know me, keeping my big mouth shut has never been one of my strong suits. Do you know how many homeless children we have in Reno?
Very considerable amount.
2,500 minimum. These kids don't know what shelter they're going to be in. They don't know where they're going to live. Not all of them live in the motels along 4th Street, you know, things like that. Some of them are living with their families under a bridge. This is really rough. So teaching them something is one thing. Keeping them alive is more important. So that we've got all of that to deal with as well as trying to get them into a classroom and teach them something. It's not a question of teaching, Sam. How long can they retain it? How do they put it together with something else when they're apt to be somewhere else? Transiency is unbelievable. That is a way of life. It's what we're facing in Nevada. New Mexico, I am told, is in worse shape than we are. The economic situation isn't helping any because they can't go and get jobs. What do they do? Our kids are out of school. Our teenagers aren't finding jobs. They're not going to be able to work for the summer. What do they do?
And that's where we have to leave it on that question. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers. Come back soon. Right after.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is open Wednesday through Monday at 5 p.m.
Nevada's Hometown Rodeo.
Eagle Window Door, a local family-owned business for over 45 years. Exercise your option for a distinctive look that makes a statement that reflects your personal taste. Slide into a more refreshing style. Specialty windows, double and single hung windows, fixed windows, and see the possibility of all wood windows. Eagle Window Door, just west of Keystone on 4th.
If you are injured on the job, having the right attorney will make all the difference in the medical care and benefits you receive. At the law offices of Jay Short, we focus on helping injured workers through the complicated maze of Nevada workers' compensation law. Some law firms do a little of everything: car accidents, bankruptcy, criminal law. At the law office of Jay Short, workers' compensation is all we do. We've helped Nevada's injured workers for over 20 years. Call attorney Jay Short now at 786-2006 for a free consultation on your workers' comp claim.
It's JM Furniture's 43rd anniversary and customer appreciation celebration with incredible deals. Like your choice of either this counter height table with six bar stools and Lazy Susan, or this dining table with six chairs for only $6.99. Or how about this plush sofa, love seat and recliner at these super low prices? Our Super Buy Queen bedroom set includes bed, dresser, mirror and one nightstand for just $6.99. And get these instant rebates on Serta, Simmons and Englander in our mattress gallery. Only at JM Furniture.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Robert Eidhoven is here with Kolesar and Latham, Government Affairs. Rue Goodnow is an attorney with Parsons, Bell and Latimer. And Sean Carey is Vice President of Nevada Matters Media. I didn't realize I was a tongue twister until I just tried to say it. New York Times yesterday, in their editorial column, so you know, obviously from a liberal perspective, said the most shameful achievement of the House Republican majority has been the elimination of the $1.5 trillion in discretionary spending through 2022, which has already held back the economy from some substantial growth and done real damage to people and communities that depend on government dollars. And some of the things that they cited here, transportation and HUD, the overall level is cut by 9% or $4.4 billion below the 2013 sequester. That means community development block grants are cut by 45% to $1.6 billion, well below the $2.7 billion put in place when President Ford created the act. Your thoughts on this?
You could also say one of the tragedies is the national debt that the Congress allowed and the president, you know,
presidents
have allowed to escalate to almost a, you know, a point where we can't sustain that level of debt. So when you have to make cutbacks, you know, that's where you go. You can also argue that that money comes from somewhere. You know, businesses who are trying to climb their way out of this recession and begin hiring people again. There's a constituency for every federal dollar spent, every state dollar spent.
But don't you think that there's a broad spectrum of economists on both sides of the aisle that say at this point in the revival of our economy that cutting the budget is the worst thing that you could do?
I think there's a broad prospect of people who believe that you need to cut the budget as well.
Eventually.
Wall Street loves the spending. Well, look at how Wall Street reacts when, you know, the Fed goes out and talks about easing, you know, stopping the printing of money and pumping just printed dollars into the market. When the Reserve holds back on this quantitative easing, the markets go crazy. And that has an impact on investors. But at some point, you have to get your arms around this debt. There was a report the other day that I saw that a 30-year projection on the debt gets us to $100 trillion. I mean, at what point? Well, I don't know what comes after trillion, you know, when you start counting up the debt like this.
You know, it was interesting. I was talking to Harry Reid on the program a couple of weeks ago, and I was joking with the crew here that in Congress, you know, a billion is the smallest number they talk about. And Senator Reid said a trillion. You know, it's changed.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on this? Because, you know, when Robert's talking about the stock market, if the stock market plummeted when Bernanke said that down the road,
ease
on the quantitative easing.
They would stop buying bonds and the market dropped. And a lot of economists have been saying this, that the rise in all of the economic indicators is tied back to government quantitative measures. And that is problematic, I think, for a lot of conservative economists. It really should be the other way around. The economy should be directing the government programming, monetary programming, not the other way around.
Sean, one of the other things that they mentioned several in this editorial, energy and water spending on new renewable energy programs will be cut nearly in half to $1 billion, but somehow an extra $450 million was found for further development of coal, natural gas, oil, and other fossil fuels. Do you think the Republicans in the House are going down the right road as far as the public is concerned?
On which specific issue?
Well,
because I'm kidding, obviously. Now, as far as that's concerned, I mean, it's hard to branch out into new types of energy when everything is so fragile, which is where it is. And that's fundamentally the problem with what's going on here, because when you try to take the money away from people that count on it to be able to live, it's not going to improve anything. I mean, if you take the money away from a child because mom's credit card balance is too high, it's not always the way to go.
You know, Robert, you had great experience working for Jim Gibbons on Capitol Hill. And isn't one of the problems that there are so many safe districts for Republicans in the House that they can afford to just stand there and say no because they're going to get reelected no matter what? The gerrymandering.
Possibly so. Yeah, that dates back. But, I mean, you can see radical shifts in Congress. You don't have to look back too far to see, after 2008, Republicans thought they were dead for 25 years and they had a huge midterm election. It looks like there could be another, it looks like the wind could be at the backs of Republicans going into the next midterm with a lot of the scandals that, this president is seeing, a lot of presidents see in their second term. There's a lot of safe districts. You see that in state legislative offices, branches as well. They're accountable ultimately to the people who elect them anyway. You look at the farm bill, that was viewed as a major collapse of House leadership, their inability to whip votes to get a farm bill through. I think you look at guys, I think Joe Heck voted against it. I'm pretty sure right. Mark Amaday may have as well. I think it was good for them to stand up against that bill for a number of reasons, one of them being the cost.
If immigration goes south in the House, does that mean that Boehner goes south too?
I don't think so. Immigration is a big issue, but I don't think it is a big enough issue to hurt him.
We shall see. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Social Security benefits applications now take an average of 365 days. Most will be denied at least once.
Tired of waiting? Time to talk to the right people. David Allen and Associates, successfully helping disabled people for over 30 years. I'm David Allen.
How much do you think individual health insurance costs?
Dr. Andrews?
What if it costs less than you think?
Yes.
Okay. How much do you think the average doctor or ER visit costs? At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we offer a variety of coverage options at surprisingly affordable rates. If you're self-employed, retiring early, or simply can't get health insurance at work, find out about affordable choices from Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield plans are designed to help fit your individual health care needs and budget.
Hi, Jack.
So whether you want basic coverage for yourself or more coverage for your family, call us at 1-800-818-0163. Or visit us online at buyanthemnow.com. Affordable coverage from a name you can trust. Call Anthem today. 1-800-818-0163.
This is it, the last and final days. The end of the great $2 million furniture sell-off retirement sale at Ennis Fine Furniture of Reno. Now, through this Sunday, you'll find extra discounts on sale prices on all remaining stock. You will not be disappointed. The final markdowns have been taken. Visit us today and take away a deal of a lifetime. This is it. Don't miss this final chance to save on America's finest furniture. Ennis Fine Furniture's sell-off retirement sale ends this Sunday at 4 p.m.
Wake up and come play.
Make something new.
Play dress up with us.
And get moving, too.
Watch all your friends and join the fun on NBC Kids.
On our next broadcast, we'll talk gaming with Howard Stutz of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'll see you later.